This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Professor Robert Fatone joins me live in studio. He is chair of the Department of Politics at the University of Virginia, or past chair, the author of numerous books, and has just completed a book entitled The Roots of Haitian Despotism. He is was born and raised in Port-au-Prince, now an American citizen, and of course is at the University of Virginia. He'll be speaking this Saturday at Alumni Hall as part of the More Than the Score speaker series. This is 10 o'clock on Saturday. It's a free event open to the public, and you are invited to join them. He will be joined by Dr. Rebecca Dillingham from Harvard and Radcliffe, who has done quite a bit of work in Haiti, certainly a lot following the earthquake. Thank you for being here. You were not there during the earthquake, right?
No, I was here. I was in Charlottesville.
Indeed. Yeah. Tell me when you first heard about the earthquake, which, remind us, was when? How long ago?
It was January 12th of this year. And I remember that vividly because I was driving back home and I was listening to the BBC, and suddenly the news were cut saying that there has been a major earthquake in Haiti. And obviously my thoughts were in Haiti, because we don't think about earthquakes when we think about Haiti. We talk about hurricanes, things of that sort. My thoughts were obviously with my family. What the heck is going to happen? And fortunately, and I was one of the very fortunate ones, no one from my immediate or extended family died in the earthquake, but many of my friends died in during that catastrophe.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And one of the things that worried me was the possibility of a tsunami, because if we had had one, then you would have been confronted with, a much larger catastrophe. If you look at the geography of Port-au-Prince, if there had been a tsunami, you probably would have had something like 1.5 to 2 million people dead.
Yeah.
So that was not the worst case scenario, but what we had was bad enough.
What was the final number of those who died in the earthquake?
No one really knows the exact number. It varies from 230,000 to something like 300,000. And one of the problems is that we don't know yet, because the rubble has not been cleared. Only about 2% of that rubble has been cleared, and we still have a great number of bodies under the rubble. So it's difficult to assess the enormity of that catastrophe. But an educated guess would be probably something like 300,000.
My God. We're talking with Professor Robert Fatone of the University of Virginia, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. I'm assuming now that you've been back to Haiti since the earthquake?
No, I haven't been back, because actually my father's house had problems. It wasn't destroyed, but serious problems, and they needed to repair it. And to repair now in Haiti takes an inordinate amount of time. I hope to be there maybe in November for at least a few days.
Yeah.
But I haven't been back. I've had a few friends who've been back, but personally, I haven't been back. The last time I was there was last September.
It's interesting, because the Gulf oil spill arguably really pushed Haiti off the front pages. But yet, you know, as you remind us, the tragedy continues there every day for millions of people.
Well, the situation is quite bad, because first, you see, the rubble is still there. The camps that we've had are still very much there. There has been very little construction of housing for the people who are in the camps. And it's estimated that above 1 million people are in camps all over the capital and all over some southern towns which were affected by the earthquake. So the situation is quite bad. There hasn't been a health crisis, and that is one of the positive factors. There was a fear that might happen with cholera or something like that.
But is common for some of these camps, right? We've seen that around the world.
That has not happened, but conditions in the camp are quite bad. People are fed, but living in the camp under tents is certainly not the ideal situation. And it's potentially a source of political problems.
Yeah. Dr. Robert Fatone is live in studio. He teaches in the Department of Politics at the University of Virginia. His most recent book is The Roots of Haitian Despotism, and he will be speaking this Saturday at 10 o'clock at Alumni Hall, The event is free and open to the public, and you are encouraged to join him there before the home game at the University of Virginia. Can we back up for a moment? I admit I'm one of those Americans who's just ignorant so much about Haiti, and I don't like that feeling. So give us sort of a Haiti 101 so that we can give us some background so that we can better appreciate where Haiti was right before the earthquake and, you know, where it continues to be so that we can start to understand maybe some of the problems and how we can address them.
Well, we can start a one-on-one in a very in 30 seconds. You know, Haiti was the first black independent nation. In other words, the first successful revolution done by slaves, because Haiti was created as a result of a war of independence against the French troops of Napoleon. And the connection with the United States is that if Haiti had lost that war, then Louisiana would still be in the hands, in all likelihood, of the French. Because the idea of Napoleon was to send about 50,000 troops, that's what he did, to Haiti, and to control the area, which had seen a lot of revolts, and then send those troops to Louisiana to keep it. The problem with that idea was that they were defeated in Haiti by the slaves. So we have had really one of the great revolutions, but the cost of that revolution was enormous in terms of lives, in terms of the destruction of the economy. And also you have to remember that when Haiti became independent, that's 1804, that's more than 200 years ago. If you were a black nation, you were a pariah nation. It was not recognized by the United States till the 1860s under Lincoln. So that's a very, I'm not going to get into all of the problems, but that is one of the issues. The independence came, but at a huge price.
Yeah, the world turned its back on this
not only turned
free
it back,
nation.
But, yeah, pushed it away. They didn't want to deal with it and threatened it several times. Then we've and we've had most of the history of Haiti is dominated by big, powerful men. So we have an authoritarian tradition. And the most extreme version of that was under the dictatorship of François Duvalier, Papa Doc, and his son, Baby Doc. And they ran the country from 1956 to 1986. So what you're talking about is a very long period of dictatorship. And then Jean-Claude Duvalier, Baby Doc, left the country. And since then, we've had an attempt to create some sort of a democratic system. And we've had our ups and downs, and that has generated also a profound instability. You may recall that in the 1990s, there had been a coup against the then President Aristide. The Americans sent something like 20,000 troops to restore Aristide. And there was some semblance of normalcy up till 2004, when Aristide, who had been reelected under some somewhat fraudulent circumstances, was again compelled to exit the country. And
well, Americans are good at putting leaders in other countries that the people don't want. We have a long history of that.
That has happened in Haiti, in particular during the Duvalier period, because that was during the Cold War. And clearly, Haitians were not supportive of the Duvalier. But during the Cold War, he was a very strong anti-communist leader. So they accepted that and actually supported the Duvalier regime.
Even though this was a severe dictatorship akin to Saddam Hussein.
It was a very nasty dictatorship. They had the very famous Tonton Macoute. That was a civilian paramilitary force that was essentially in the business of repressing the people. So that his son was not as bad as the father, but it was extremely corrupt. And that has continued up till now. We have a significant amount of corruption in the political system.
We're talking with Dr. Robert Faton of the University of Virginia. He's speaking this Saturday at 10 o'clock at Alumni Hall. And your expertise is politics and governmental issues. What has been the result of decades of corruption and despotism throughout the 20th century in Haiti on the government today? Because typically after when a country comes out from the arms of a dictatorship, it's a government in name only. And it's, there's really nothing there that can really run the country. Those institutions are powerless if they exist at all.
Well, we have very weak institutions. We have a very rudimentary judicial system. We have a very low capacity in terms of the government or the state to really control the country and have a plan for the country. For the past 40 years or so, most of the money that has been given to Haiti has been given to the NGOs. And the NGOs are all over the country. In Haiti, we call them La République des ONG. In other words, the Republic of the NGOs.
And non-governmental organizations.
Yeah. And they do good job, but they are not the engine that can create a national economy. They are doing their little things everywhere. And some of
They're not really tied together.
They are not tied together.
Like a national government might tie the institutions together.
They have competing interests. They replicate things that they would not necessarily need to do. So there is a problem with that approach. And if you look at, for instance, immediately after the earthquake, when the United States gave something like $600 million for the whole effort to recovery, but to prevent the disaster from becoming an utter catastrophe.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of military people sent. You had NGOs also, food sent to Haiti. Most of that money actually never went to the government. There was an estimate that 1 cent out of every dollar given by the American government went to the Haitian government. So the Haitian government has been starved of resources. And actually, is no longer really in charge of the country. 70% of the Haitian budget comes from foreign sources.
So who is in charge then in Haiti if the government is not?
Well, the government
This constellation of NGOs?
You have a constellation. And also of the United Nations, there is the so-called MINUSTAH force, which is the military force in Haiti. It's a peacekeeping force composed essentially of Brazilians, Chileans, and some other nations from Latin America. There are about 13,000 of them. There is a Haitian police force, but it's very small and quite inefficient still. And most of the institutions after the earthquake were destroyed. Virtually every single governmental building was destroyed during the earthquake. And there is that picture, for instance, of the Haitian National Palace, which is a very well-known. It's something that is deeply etched in the memory of Haitians as an independent nation, completely destroyed. And it's still destroyed. And so that not only destroyed the existing institutions, but those institutions were, to begin with, extremely weak, extremely fragile.
Now it's even worse.
So that's even worse. So what you have right now, there's been a commission that has been formed. It's called the Interim Recovery Commission. And the business of that commission is to generate plans for the development of Haiti. And it's headed by two people, the Haitian Prime Minister and former U.S. President Bill Clinton. And this is a commission that is in charge, literally, of the country for the next 18 months. And that, while there are some good, positive things about that, it is going to create some political problems because we are supposed to have an election on November, late November, and we are supposed to have a new government, a new parliament, etc. But at the same time, we have that commission which is given essentially absolute power for 18 months. How the new president, the new parliament, are those institutions going to deal with the commission if they are not completely in sync is a real issue that has not yet been confronted, but it may become an important issue.
Absolutely. We're talking with Dr. Robert Fatone of the University of Virginia. He is a native of Haiti, and he'll be speaking this Saturday at Alumni Hall at 10 a.m. before the home game. He'll be joined by Dr. Rebecca Dillingham, who a physician who's done quite a bit of work in Haiti. Along those medical lines, clearly there are severe issues with power in Haiti, the lack of institutions, governmental institutions that could provide some sense of stability, long-term stability. But there is also some of the highest rates of AIDS and HIV that we see anywhere in the world. What is that a ticking time bomb, you think, in Haiti, or am I being hyperbolic to overestimate this?
It might be exaggerated, though it's complicated, because prior to the earthquake, significant progress had been done in Haiti as a result of the participation of NGOs, and in particular of a center that has been built in Port-au-Prince to fight AIDS, and they had been extremely successful. The problem is that the earthquake destroyed all of that. And that means that the problem of AIDS may again, come to the fore. But it had been to some extent contained for a while. And Haiti was recognized as one of the very poor countries that had done a very good job in terms of containing AIDS and actually fighting it back.
Now, so the spread was arrested, you think?
It was arrested. And that was probably one of the best news coming out of Haiti. That was one of the few success stories, if you wish.
Yeah.
And it's endangered precisely because most of those centers were completely destroyed by the earthquake.
Let me ask you this. In other countries in the world where we see a lack of a governmental center, a national power base that provides these institutions and this sense of long-term stability. I'm thinking of Afghanistan, for instance, where you don't have those institutions and of course, America's trying to create them, but you don't have a real successful history of a central government. And as a result, you have factional regional warlords who control parts of the country. Do we see something like that in Haiti?
No, we don't have that problem in Haiti. We have some problems with gangs, in particular unemployed youth in the slums, and there is some problem with drugs too. But the country as a whole is still a country. And in spite of the fact that you have some limited violence, it certainly does not compare to what you see in Afghanistan. So it's a country that is relatively peaceful, given the problems that it is facing, and given also the immense difference between the very wealthy and the poor, which really represent the vast majority of the country.
It almost has almost a medieval sensibility to it, with that economically, you know, a lack of a strong central government and this no middle class, this real sense of haves and large numbers of have-nots.
Yeah, there is a profound divide between the have and the have-nots.
Yeah. So you're a native of the country. Yeah. You've got your graduate degrees and you're teaching at one of the best universities in the world. What's your prescription? I mean, as you look back, what do you think needs to be done and what can be done, to help Haiti? Yeah. I mean, is there any low-hanging fruit, a place to start?
Well, my feeling personally is that if you want to start rebuilding the country and you want to improve the conditions of the vast majority, you need to really emphasize the development of agriculture and in particular food. In other words, if you want to industrialize, this is not going to benefit many people, and I don't think we have the means to do so. So to me, the idea is to have a country where you would have a decent lifestyle for the vast majority by emphasizing agricultural production and food production. One of the problems is that the world economy has, to some extent, conspired against Haiti. We used to be, for instance, up till 1990, very much self-sufficient in terms of rice, which is the main staple in Haiti. What happened, though, is that we were, to a large degree, compelled by international financial institutions to lower all of our tariffs. So now what we have, actually, is we are one of the countries which import the most amount of rice from the United States. And the contradiction in it is that that rice is actually subsidized by the American taxpayer and goes to Haiti at a very low price. And that has contributed to the complete disintegration of rice production in Haiti. And President Clinton, who was president at the time when those changes were implemented, recently went to the Senate to testify on Haiti, and he said, "My goodness, I really created a complete mess." But now he's in a position where he could do something about it. I'm not sure whether he's going to do it, because another, that rice is from Arkansas, all places.
Well, another example of, choosing the priorities of the transnational corporation over the people of a country. And you end up creating people who are self-sufficient and independent and making them subservient and dependent on
And that's
on these...
one of the problems, because virtually all the food that we have is imported now.
Yeah.
But there has to be a period of transition, even if you want to change it, because the prices are lower, because they are subsidized by
by public money from the states. Dr. Robert Fatone teaches in the Department of Politics at the University of Virginia, and he'll be speaking this Saturday at 10 a.m. at Alumni Hall. It's a free event and open to the public. You can continue the conversation with him there. Thank you so much for being
Thank
here.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.